Well, good evening, everyone. It's really good to be here with you tonight. I wanted to talk a bit in response to the events of the past week, the bombings and shootings in Paris, the reactions to that, the concerns about Syrian refugees entering various countries that aren't Syria. And so forth, all those reverberations. And how do we respond to that when it feels so much out of our control, when it's something so big and distant from us, and yet we feel as though we must respond in some way? What do we do? How do we handle that? A koan came to mind as I thought about this situation, and it's actually a koan that from the first time I heard it, I absolutely did not like this. It's one of my least favorite koans. That's changed quite a bit over time, but let me begin by just reading it to you. It is the Blue Cliff Record, Case 19. It's called Goutte's One Finger. And the case. Whenever he was asked about Zen, Master Goutte simply stuck up one finger. This is, for those listening, it's the index finger. That's the whole case. So it struck me as a rather useless response most of the time. You know, what about skillful means? What about meeting the various students where they were? How could one response cover all situations? It seemed like a pretty poor teaching. But let us have a look at the background to this koan. Who was this Master Goutte? So as not to get it wrong, I wrote all of this down and will read it to you. This is from Yamada Koan. Goutte lived during the reign of Emperor Buso in the Tang Dynasty around 845 AD. Buso was a very violent man and persecuted Buddhism. He destroyed 40,000 temples. Turned out 265,000 priests and nuns to go back to their homes and villages and live as lay people again. And this was the era in which Goutte lived. So a turbulent time, not unlike that in which we live. Goutte was a very sincere and earnest person. Even when he was still without an enlightened eye, he would chant every day a three-line mantra from a sutra called Goutte Butsumoshin Dharani, for which he came to be named. One evening, perhaps when he was fervently chanting this mantra, a nun named Jisai, who was traveling around on pilgrimage, stopped at his temple. In conformity with Buddhist etiquette, she walked around the seated Goutte three times as a greeting, and then, standing in front of him and still wearing her traveling bamboo hat, said, "If you can say something, I will take off my bamboo hat." So she's challenging him. "Come forth, monk." Goutte, devout though he was, may not have been very mentally agile, for he couldn't come up with a single word, and he just sat there in silence, staring at her. The nun repeated her statement three times. She's giving him lots of chances here. But getting no response, she must have thought there was no point in challenging such a person and started to leave. You can just imagine how Goutte felt at this time. He practiced all this time. I mean, he was a monk. This was his life. And yet, an old woman appears in front of him and challenges him, and he doesn't know how to respond. He must have wanted to just slip away into the shadows. All of a sudden, he called to her, "It's getting quite late. Why don't you stay here tonight?" didn't want this to end somehow. And the nun responded, "If you can say something, I'll stay." But again, he was unable to utter a word. And then Yamada Koen adds that in fact, the response that the monk made, inviting her to stay, was indeed a valid answer, but he didn't know it. And so the nun could not accept it as such. So once again, he was at a loss. And so three times the nun repeated, "If you can say something, I'll stay." And three times she got no answer, so she finally left. Gute felt terribly ashamed and angry at himself. "I am a man with no backbone," he growled to himself. "I couldn't even say one word in response to that nun's challenge. How miserable I am." And there, on the spot, he made up his mind to leave the temple and set out on a pilgrimage and to begin really practicing in earnest. So after making preparations to leave in the morning, he went to bed, but then had a dream. He dreamed that San Jin, the guardian deity of the region, appeared to him and said, "Tomorrow, a living Tathagata, awakened one, thus come one, will come here. So give up your plans to leave this temple." So sure enough, the following morning, the great master Tenryu appeared at the temple, and delighted, Gute gave him the seat of honor, and in the course of the ensuing conversation told him what had happened the preceding evening with the nun. He said, "How ashamed I was not to be able to reply anything to the nun. But tell me, what should I have said?" At that, Tenryu simply raised one finger. At that instant, the bottom of Gute's mind barrel was crushed through. Everything collapsed to pieces. And so Gute took up the practice, this one finger Zen. On his deathbed, he said that he had used it for, I don't know, 30 years, 50 years, and had never been able to exhaust it. So anytime anyone came to him, here he was, master of a Zen monastery, many students, and you can just imagine how many questions came up when they came to see him in Doksan. And his answer was always the same, holding up one finger. Now, he was a man of simple means, perhaps not very eloquent, couldn't discuss deeply matters of doctrine, but he was a wholehearted practitioner, and with everything he had, he offered his one finger Zen. And what is this as an answer? If we had gone to Gute with a question, "Please tell me, how can I be a better Zen student? What's wrong with my crappy sitting? What does it mean? What is this? What is that?" And every time, there is one finger held up. What does it reflect back to us? It turns us right back to our own question. Doesn't give us any chance to slip away from it. Nobody else answering it for us. This is what Gute offered. So great was his faith in each student's ability to express their own Buddha nature that he didn't feel any need to go beyond that. It was everything right there in one finger. And although he was this simple person who lived in the mountains in this monastery and had only this one teaching to offer, it has blanketed the earth for more than a millennium. He didn't know it was going to be in a collection of koans. He had no idea. He was just teaching what he knew. and offering everything that he had, simple though it was. And yet, even today, we talk about it. So how do we respond to great world events that feel like they're utterly out of our control? What can we offer of ourselves each moment, right here where we are, without having any idea what its reverberations will be, either across the world or through time? We can only ever give as much as we can give. And so Gute's example is for us to come forth and give that. Perhaps it's just a discussion with your coworker. Perhaps it's just sitting on the cushion with your dismay and concern. Whatever it might be, to bring that forth wholly, to bring forth the great faith in the Buddha Dharma that Gute exhibited every time he held up that finger. Knowing that all is well already. This balance between Suzuki Roshi's statements of everything is perfect just as it is, and we could all use a little improvement. So making a response, but also knowing already perfect just as it is. That great faith in the Buddha Dharma to carry everything through as it must be. There is a verse that goes with this koan, and for the verse we need a backstory. So I'll tell the backstory first. It's an old folk story, I guess. Well, no, actually it says it comes from the Lotus Sutra, a story in the Lotus Sutra, about a turtle in the sea that had just one eye, and the eye was on its belly on the bottom, so all he could see was what was below him. But he had a great longing, this turtle, to see the sky. Under the circumstances, there's no way that he could do that. But one day, a log floated by with a hole in the middle of it, and the turtle was able to catch hold of the log, hanging onto it upside down, so that his eye was positioned at the hole and he could see the sky. With that in mind, the verse. For the way he responds, I deeply cherish old Gute. Throughout the universe, is there another like him? He cast a log adrift on the sea in the night of turbulence. Together, he attends to blind turtles. Thank you all.